have a special guest. Today we are talking with Mo Durheim. He is with Farmers and Merchants State Bank, and he is a business and agricultural loan specialist. And I don't think I've ever got to talk with Mo before on the radio. Mo, this is fun having you on the show today. How are you?
Excellent and improving. Glad to be here.
Tell me a little bit. You've been with Farmers and Merchants State Bank for how many years now?
It's 35 years I've been here.
That's 35 years. Serving all of central Minnesota from three bank locations, Pierce, Sauk Rapids, Eden Valley.
This is correct.
How did you get involved in working in a bank? It's always an interesting story. Well, I love to hear people's stories.
I grew up on a farm by Long Prairie, and it was a dairy farm and a crop farm. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, golly, bankers have a lot of money, and maybe that's what I should do because I didn't want to milk cows. So I got a job after college here at Farmers and Merchants, and I've learned that it's actually very rewarding to be able to help other people achieve what they want to do. And I make a nice living doing that. So it's a good fit for me.
Exactly. Growing up on a farm, me too. I grew up on a farm. My mom was a banker. My dad was a cabinet maker, and we had a farm of beef cattle. And so it's kind of a neat tie-in because you totally understand what people out there in the farm community deal with on a day-to-day basis. And being someone that deals with agricultural loans, that has to help having your background, just growing up in it.
Yeah, the background is there. And the farm I grew up in... It's still in our family. My family still owns that property today, so I get out there a lot. In fact, my parents still live on that farm.
Oh, that is so nice.
I feel like my hand is still there.
You and I have a similar history that way. My father still owns our family farm, too, and I lived in Kentucky for 20 years but just really couldn't get back, couldn't wait to get back. So I go there every Sunday, hang out with my dad on the farm. We don't work it anymore. We rent it out to, you know, local farmers who do all the land and stuff like that. But I'm still so glad that he has it. But let's talk a little bit about Farmers and Merchants State Bank and kind of what you do there. Tell us a little bit about the history of Farmers and Merchants.
Well, Farmers and Merchants has been around since 1908. So we've a long, long history. We started in Pierce and doing small town banking, Farmers and Merchants. It's kind of right in our name where the history is here. In 1995, we opened our office on the edge of Sauk Rapids. And then in 2016, we actually merged with the bank in Eden Valley, which had a common ownership. So we kind of put the family all together. And so we are small towns, and we deal with people who live and make their living and run their businesses and their farms and all the small town atmosphere. It's very personal. We tend to like to know people's names and know a little about them. I kind of like to know the dog's name when I go out to the farm. Sometimes that's really helpful.
Yeah.
But our focus is small towns and the people who make those small towns what they are here in Minnesota.
Okay. And that makes sense because, I mean, if I was a farmer and I'm coming in and I'm telling you what I need, I want somebody to make me feel comfortable because they know where I'm talking about when I need things on the farm.
That's very true. If you look at our staff and the composition of the folks who work inside the bank, we have a lot of farmers, like firsthand farmers who are part of it. We have people who their family owns businesses. So we are very much a part of the communities that we serve.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about business and agricultural loans. I mean, they're different. What is a day like for you when you're dealing with people and these types of loans?
It depends which day you ask because every day is a little different. Most of our days, at least my days, are spent focused on what is somebody's objective. I'm working with clients. One farm may be looking at a generational transition. How do we structure things in today's marketplace to make that possible? Another farm or business may want to grow. We want to expand. We have another family member who wants to be a part of the business. How do we position ourselves to make those things possible? We're generally spending our time looking forward. We learn from the past. Obviously, we look at financial information from past years, that sort of thing. But most of our focus is forward, trying to figure out how do we use the tools in our toolbox to position our customers to get where they want to go. And that's the part that keeps me engaged is I'm interested in trying to figure out the puzzle of how do we use the tools we have to achieve the objectives that my customer is interested in, because that's the only way we succeed as an institution is help our customers succeed.
You know, when you think about a farm, you think about cows and you think about corn, and people don't really think about the operating aspects of something like that. I mean, that's not the only thing, you have business and agricultural loans, but in a farming community, in a farm town, things change over time. You know, we look at our dairy industry and how has that changed? Has changed for a lot of people. And if they want to kind of stay with what's happening and keep that farm going in the family, sometimes I'm sure they have to look at how can we change things here on the farm? What additions do we need to make that will make our farm more profitable? And I suppose you guys spend a lot of time looking at what's going to be working in our area for those types of people.
Exactly. Yeah. You're kind of talking right into the wheelhouse of what we do as a specialty. And you mentioned the dairy industry. We deal with quite a few dairy farms, and many of them are interested in growing because that's a marketplace that has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's the margins have been pressed. It's harder for a smaller enterprise to stay competitive and provide enough net profit. That's become a real challenge. And we see a lot of farms that feel a need to grow, and that requires a strategy on how does that happen.
Let's talk a little bit about
something we specialize in.
Yeah. And that's the thing we want to kind of talk about, because people are like, okay, what is the difference? What is an ag input loan? What, I don't even know what that is exactly. Do farmers know what that is, or do you have to explain it when they come in?
Oh, no. Most of our farmers are very familiar with what does that mean.
Okay.
Ag is a very capital-intensive business, and if we're looking at a cropping enterprise, for example, that goes with almost every business that we have, in the livestock businesses, and they all require feedstuffs, and that probably means an operating entity of some sort. Mm-hmm. And so the operating, if you look at this year, for example, our fertilizer and seed costs have gone up pretty dramatically. And so the demand for cash to put those crops in the ground is higher than it's ever been. And so we're needing to help create strategies to put those operating dollars in place so that our farmers have the wherewithal to put the crop in the ground to get the feedstuffs they need for their enterprises.
Wow, okay. That makes sense. And then we have something here that's listed called strategic loan structures. What are some of the options there?
That's what I've been talking about.
Okay.
What we do, our thing is we want to understand where our customer wants to go. And I could give you examples of how this works. But we take an understanding of what our customer wants to achieve in this year, in 5 years, sometimes as long as 10 years, understanding where they want their business to go. Some businesses want to just pay off their loans and be stable. Other businesses want to grow. And that means we need to take a strategic look at how do we build a financing package that puts them in a position to do the growth that they want to do.
Ah, okay. And they're all different. So it's, and what's
each
capable.
Each one is different.
Right. So you have to look at what their dreams are. You have to look at, okay, this is how big the property might be or whatever. This is where they're located. Can this be a reality? Or if not, how can we adjust it to make sure that everything is going to work for everybody and we're going to actually get them to the place they want to be, maybe having to go with a different route?
That's right. Let's look at all of the tools we've got. But it all starts with understanding what are their objectives. What would they like to see happen? Do they want the dairy business to be larger? Do they want a larger cropping enterprise? Do they have a second generation or third generation who wants to be a part of the farming enterprise? What is needed to be able to have those objectives become reality? And how can we use the tools we have now to put them in a position 1, 2, 3, 5 years down the road where it's just a natural fit that their objectives become reality?
Yeah. All right, let's talk interest rates. Interest rates can really affect people, right, when they're trying to figure things out. How can Farmers and Merchants State Bank help with that?
We will right back to dovetailing to what are the objectives.
Oh.
Everybody's talking about interest rates going up, and they are indeed going up. They've gone up once, and it looks like we're going to see quite a few more raises. And that's significant where an enterprise is carrying quite a few loans. So we've got tools that we can use to fix some of those rates to take interest rate risk off the table where it's appropriate. We work with our friends at Farmer Mac. There's two Farmer Mac programs. We work with our friends at the FSA. We utilize the RFA programs, the SBA programs. So there are a bunch of tools that we can use to mitigate interest rate risk in a rising rate environment. and do that in a way that's consistent with the long-term plan for the enterprise.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, there's lots of different places, right? People can go places for loans and business loans and everything, but what sets you guys apart, do you think? What do you think Farmers and Merchant State Bank does a little bit differently that really makes people feel comfortable there?
Our tagline says friendly still counts, and it's really true. When you walk into Farmers and Merchants, you should feel that there's a genuine interest in you and what's important to you. Mm-hmm. We believe we understand very keenly that in order for us to succeed, we need to help other people succeed. And that's our objective. And we're told frequently that that's what makes us different, is we genuinely have an interest in the success of our customer. And we understand that our success will follow, but it's not the lead. Our customer success is where we start.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. You know, if you're someone that is, you know, this is a personal thing for a lot of people. These businesses have been in families quite often, if you're talking farms, for many, many years, many generations. And so trust is a big part of the whole equation, right? It's trusting someone that you can open up to, that you can say, I feel like we're having some issues here. And maybe you guys already know that, but then being able to talk with you and explain to them how things are going to work and find out a solution to the problem, it seems like that's what you guys are really all about.
Yep, that's what we do. That trust is a crucial piece, and that starts with being genuine, having a genuine interest in what is important to that customer.
I noticed that you get really involved with some things locally, too, like Habitat for Humanity. I heard that you were helping out with the Habitat for and kind of help build houses. How did you get involved on that kind of a level?
Me personally, I'm not the one who's in Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, you're
but
not.
We have members of our staff that are involved in, and not just in Habitat, but look around our community to pretty much any of those worthy causes, and you're going to find an F&M face actively involved. We have about 50 employees. And all of us have chosen to be involved in our communities in a variety of spots.
Okay.
So you'll find an F&M person in many of those volunteer organizations at the benefit on Saturday. We saw F&M people all over the place.
Yeah.
At Habitat, you're going to find F&M's fingerprints in those places. It's a part of what we are. Our people, we live and make our homes in the communities, and that means we are genuinely a part of the community. And so you will find F&M represented in many places. Habitat is a really nice example.
Sure. And like the March food drive. There was a food drive you guys were a part of.
That's one that's a lot of fun. Our bank has chosen to match funding. During the month of March, we have the boxes in the lobbies where folks can make their in-kind, their food donations. We also took cash donations, and our bank chose to match dollar for dollar those cash donations. Which doubles the money. So if someone can see their way fit to donate $20, well, F&M will match that and make that $40. So it doubles the impact. It's just one of many instances where F&M chooses to give back and put value back into our communities where it can be used.
I think about you doing this for the period of time that you've done it, you know, 30 plus years. When you think back all over that time, I'm sure you've got a lot of great stories, but do you have a story that stands out specifically in your mind that you're like, oh my gosh, that was that time. I was so glad that we got that done. I'll never, ever forget that story.
I have one that's a lot of fun. A young man came in to visit, and he had lots of ambition and not much in resources, but he wanted to own a business. He had a skill. He had gone to school, learned how to do it, but he didn't have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked with him about 4 years multiple times per year. We would meet, talk about what his business is doing, how profitable it is, what size it is, all of these things. And over a course of about 4 years, he built that from nothing to a point where his family survives solely on his business, and he's able to buy a piece of land, and he's looking at building a facility of his own. It's really kind of a fun story to have somebody who used us as a tool to understand the business side of his business, and it's really put him in a spot where he's become quite a success, and it's really gratifying to see that he and his young family now have something that will sustain them financially. And he started with just ambition and a genuine work ethic.
That is the dream. That's the dream, right?
It really is the kind of the American dream, to be able to build something from just your two hands.
And, you know, and that's when you look at this picture and you go, okay, he came in and he's like, this is what I envision. I just need your help. And so you guys work together. And obviously you can't help someone unless you really know that you can make it work. And that's where you come in to figure out all the pieces, right, to make sure that something like that can be successful.
Yeah, he was very skilled at his trade, but he was not skilled in the financial understanding of how to put the rest of the puzzle together. And so I was able to provide him meaningful feedback with that. And to his credit, he took that input, used it, and built a very profitable little business for him and his family.
That's awesome. I love hearing stories like that. What's on the horizon for the rest of this year? Anything new, new programs being introduced, new people coming on board with you over there at Farmers Emergent
State
Bank?
We've added some new talent here at F&M in the last year or two. We've had a couple of retirements that some folks who have been with us a while. And so we've had the chance to bring some new talent on. So that's kind of fun because we get new ideas build in with the philosophy that has been here for a long, long time. Obviously, hot topics these days are interest rates, inflation, all of that stuff. But we've seen that before. I've been around a long time. And I started in the middle of the 1980s when there was a lot of situations to work with. So we've seen a bunch of this. So we can bring that experience to bear. And to couple that with some new talent that has been around only a few years, we think it makes a very usable mix that we can use to the benefit of our customers.
So if people are out there going, okay, I'm just going to go, they sound like the kind of place that I'd like to talk to. I want to talk to someone who cares about me and my family, and I've got some ideas. I think they're the place for me. How do people contact you? How do they make an appointment to talk with someone at Farmers Emergent State Bank?
Well, they can call any of our offices. They can also, and I can give you the phone numbers if you like, but they also can go online. There's our website. There's a contact position on the website. Or walk into any of our offices and say, hey, I want to talk to somebody about whatever it is you'd like to talk about.
Okay.
Most of our customers, that initial contact comes in a phone call, and we welcome those.
That's great. This has been fun. A time like flew by, though. We don't have very much time left. So now, any last words you want to leave with us before you leave today, Bo?
Well, if folks have heard this and are interested, I would be delighted to take a call and have a chance to learn about what they are interested in. I like the chance to meet some new people and see, is what we do beneficial to what they're looking for? Any chance to visit with somebody new, I'm up for it.
It sounds good. Mo, this is fun. Thank you for being a guest with me today.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's Mo Durheim. He's a business and agricultural loan specialist at Farmers and Emergent State Bank. And now you know more.